Hey guys, what's going on? Sean here, Lineup Logic. Listen, before we get into Monday's show, I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Harry's. Of course, you guys have heard me talk about it a million times. Here's the drill. Harry's.com/lineup. Go over there. They're going to give you a $13 trial set for completely free. Just pay for shipping. Sign up. Okay, so I know it's like completely free, but it's like $4 for shipping? Razor, blade, cartridge, shave gel. And then, honestly, you're not going to ever go back to anything else. Just stop buying stuff at CVS. Sign up for Harry's. Great way to support the show. Great shaving gear. Harry's.com/lineup. Get in there. Let's get into the show. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate on coming on FanDuel. I am your host, Sean Kane, and listen, bringing you guys the Monday show. I'm bringing you the Monday show early, okay? I'm bringing you the Monday show early because I got a sick kid. Going to be home from school tomorrow, probably. Little man, you know, it's the season. It's flu season. He doesn't have the flu. Flu's very serious. I take that very seriously. Got my flu vaccine. Got in there, man. I'm a good dad. Get your flu vaccines, guys. Get your flu. Anyway, all right, sorry. Monday show coming at you. We're going to go ahead through this six-game slate. Nice slate. Not, you know, I mean, the problem with this slate, and I'll just be straightforward, there's a ton of teams on the back-to-back. So, like, oh, man, I love Milwaukee, Philadelphia. Embiid is going to play like 40 minutes tonight. Milwaukee played a back-to-back today too. So you're going to kind of get this like half-ass Giannis versus Embiid thing when they both busted their tails. Now the Bucks rolled today. It was in the afternoon and it's less commute for them because they were in Chicago. But for Philadelphia, I mean, you know, prime time right now, they're going to fly from OKC to Milwaukee tonight. And then they got to go back out there after 35 minutes in a competitive primetime game, you know. I'm worried about that. Phoenix, same thing. They played a huge minutes against the Rockets today, that big game. So you look at some of these core plays, you know, you want to get involved with Embiid against Milwaukee and Booker against Memphis. How are they going to be full speed? You know, we haven't got to the All-Star break yet. These are the kinds of things I've been thinking about while I was prepping for this slate. Anyway, it's a nice slate anyway. Boston-Denver should be a lot of fun. You know, and the Wolves are fresh. The Wolves are on a nice little East Coast trip right now, so they should be great in a great spot against Atlanta. So we're going to go ahead through the lines and the injuries up at the top, and then I'm going to go into a player pool here, try and get you guys set up for your Monday main slate lineups. Figure out, you know, where we want to be as far as high priced players, what value we might see coming up, Yeah, I mean, we got nothing left. I mean, that's it, man. Let's go ahead and let's jump into tonight. All right, first game of the night. It's Charlotte at Indiana. 215 total. Indiana favored by 2. Coming off that game against Orlando, they'd played Friday and then Saturday. So this is the third game in third and four for them. Which is probably why you're seeing like them only favored by 3 in this situation. Interesting matchup, you know, specifically for Dwight Howard. No serious injuries on either side of the ball, but we'll be keeping an eye on the Miles Turner situation in Indiana. He played on Friday, limited minutes off the bench against Orlando. That's weird to me. Either he's lost his job in some form. And they kind of want to see how well he plays because they don't want to just upset the apple cart with the way Sabonis has been playing. It makes sense, I guess, with the starting unit. And they say, okay, listen, you're going to get 25 minutes on the second unit. You guys go 24 and 24. We'll see. I don't really know what they're doing with that. But, I mean, he wasn't really playing like he had been earlier in the year. You know, early in the year, he started out gangbusters. And I thought for sure we were going to have a great fantasy. He just really wasn't playing that well. On the Charlotte side of things, Dwight, one of the most valuable fantasy assets in the NBA right now. Dwight Howard, fantasy, probably one of the best values in your season-long fantasy leagues that you could have picked up for sure. No doubt about it. Yeah, I'm all over that. I love it. Against against a terrible Indiana front court defense, I'm interested. Moving on to Atlanta, Minnesota at Atlanta. Jimmy comes back against Brooklyn. They put up 128. They roll the Nets. Obviously, we expected them to roll the Nets. At one point, they were up by about 30 points. They let him back into it. But they looked great. I mean, Cat put up a 50-burger. Wiggo put up 34. Jimmy put up 45. It's exactly what you want the Wolves to be doing. Everybody played 78 minutes. It was just perfect Wolves fantasy basketball. This is what we want from the Timberwolves. And they'll be down in Atlanta with a 215 total, which is a pretty decent number for this slate. You know, one of the higher end numbers on this slate. We don't have any 220s, and I don't think we will. Phoenix and Memphis won't be a 220 because of pace, and Philly Milwaukee definitely won't be a 220 because of pace and Philadelphia's defense, which, by the way, top five defensive efficiency. Surprised you didn't know that. Joel Embiid, animal defensively. This should be a good one, though. I'm interested in a lot of pieces here. The combined minutes with the great front court matchup. Atlanta sucks in a bunch of places. It's great stuff. Let's go. Phoenix at Memphis. No total here. You got a lot of injury information in Memphis to keep abreast of. As if you didn't have to read a short novel every time the Grizzlies were about to take the slate, and you were like, oh my God, I have to play Grizzlies. I have to play the Grizzlies. You do have to play the Grizzlies. None of them cost more than 4.5K. You have to play one Grizzly a night, okay, until Mike Conley is back. All right? And a lot of times you can get away with making that Grizzly Tyreke Evans. He, however, is sidelined. Now, it was an illness initially, and I'm looking at RotoWorld's injury report right now, and they're saying it's a pectoral muscle. I don't know. We'll see. Keep an eye out here. He's questionable going into tomorrow. Michael Green's been ruled out. Ben McLemore's been ruled out. James Ennis has been, I believe, is doubtful going into tomorrow. So Dillon Brooks, Jared Allen, not Jared Allen. What's his name? Oh, the power forward. Come on, guys. He's Grizzlies power forward. If you've said it already, I apologize for this lag. Jarrell Martin. But that's it. I mean, and Andrew Harrison and Mario Chalmers. So, okay, there's six Grizzlies in play. Fuck. All right, moving on to the Phoenix side of things. Coming off the back-to-back, you know, I love Devin Booker in this spot. And he has actually played pretty well in back-to-backs this year. So we're gonna look at him for sure. And then that's about it. Honestly, that's where you attack Memphis, and I don't really like any of the Suns except for Booker anyway. And I love Devin Booker. Philly at Milwaukee. Gosh. Oh, this game would be so fun. So much fun if they weren't on the back-to-back. Just give this game one day rest, please. I'm actually really worried that Joel Embiid is going to sit. Watching this Thunder game right now, he's doing so much aggressive dunking on Russell Westbrook, that which is just amazing. It is the best. This game is so great. This it's honestly, I really, 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 really hope this Westbrook Embiid rivalry kind of sticks. It's really fun to watch. And it's mostly because they just both have gigantic mounts. Anyway, if Philly wasn't coming off the back, then I said Milwaukee played. They played a blowout, which, you know, okay, fine. They destroyed the Bulls on the road. They were able to limit minutes. I mean, you know, nobody really played that many minutes and didn't really push themselves, especially in the second half. So Milwaukee not as worried about them. They're at home now, coming from Chicago, like I said. So, thinking about the Philadelphia side, I'm going to just be waiting for news. Like, we need to understand what's going to happen here. I think Ben Simmons is interesting. I'm worried Embiid is going to get limited. And even though I would love to roster him against John Henson, I think the smart thing for the Philadelphia would be to say, okay, great, you played 34. You're going to play 28 tonight. That would be the smart thing. Just take it easy here, big fella. But I don't know what they're going to do. They've said, you know, fuck it, we're going back to backs. He should be good to go. despite the fact that there's no reason to there's no reason to do that for him. There really isn't. Like, they need to be careful. They really do need to be careful, because you're losing Fultz. If you lose Embiid next season or for part of the season, like, eek, that sucks. Just wanted to point out that under Joe Prunty, in three games, the Milwaukee Bucks have three separate net ratings of plus 7.8, plus 27, plus 18. Now, in defense of Jason Kidd, which that's the only time I'm ever going to say that, it was Phoenix, Brooklyn, and Chicago. Okay, so those are those are some really bad teams. But the net rating has been unbelievable. Prunty, actually, what's really interesting, the pace is not picking up. He's not really pushing it more than 100 possessions at a very average pace. What's been unbelievable is the offensive rating. 112, 117, 114, and clearly creating a nice margin with their defense, which seems to be improving slightly. Now, we'll see what happens in Philadelphia. Both of these teams, I would love to watch this game. Giannis versus Embiid is going to be just phenomenal. All right, moving on over to last game of the night, Miami at Dallas. Oh, sorry, not last game, second to last. Miami at Dallas, 196 total. Miami favored by one, which is really, really nice to Dallas. But this game is going to be like watching paint dry, and Miami wins. I think they don't ever – I don't know if they ever really are going to trail. Dallas is going to struggle to score. Not interested. There's a pretty slow pace. I like Miami as a real basketball team. I don't like them necessarily that much as a fantasy one. There's too much value in other places on the slate and interesting spots that I want to play. Like, as my mediocre game of the night that I would want to roster, Charlotte and Indiana. I'd rather have, like, throwaway players from that game, personally. Boston at Denver. I could have some bench guys in this game, too. This would be fun. 203 total here. Denver favored by one. Wow. That is a low, low number. These two teams last year, you would have seen in this game, I believe, 210 more. But Denver's defense playing respectably, league average-ish, 18th in the league. And, of course, Boston is the number one defense in the league. Boston's pace has actually been pretty slow, and Denver's has been too, only 98 possessions per game. So reform your understanding of these teams, guys. Reform. They're both kind of dead middle and pace here. So nothing to get excited about, not a really a shootout. I think, though, this is a letdown spot for the I really do. I think it's a letdown spot for Boston. Coming off the Golden State game, super competitive playoff type atmosphere, which, by the way, they really showed their colors there, because the only person who was comfortable playing in that building was Kyrie Irving and maybe a little Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier's got a little bit of swagger to him. Jaylen Brown looked good in the beginning when it was quiet. Lost. Jason Tatum lost. And you can't blame those guys. They're 21 and 19. But the only person who looked comfortable in Oracle when it was just burning down loud was Kyrie. That was it, man. He knew. He's like, I've been here. God, he looked great. He looked great. He's really the only one that can do that to Steph. He really is. Like, he and Steph did. It's amazing. 203 total. Like I said, it's actually one of the lower ones on the night, and I think it will be lower than Philly, Milwaukee, or Phoenix, Memphis. So definitely some pieces that we can get from this game as far as just kind of mid-tier players who are going to get plenty of minutes. So there's definitely there's some things we'll talk about from there. All right, let's go ahead over to the player breakdown, figure out who we love position by position. Who do you love? All right, we got to start at the top of the slate, okay? Top of the slate here, we're going to start with our studs. And point guard, not particularly deep. Not particularly deep. Some decent names, but off the top, just kind of on paper, you like Kyrie Irving in this situation, okay? He's healthy. He looked great at Golden State. He is in Denver against a team that is, not that great against not that great against point guards. Jamal Murray has not been phenomenal on his defensive end. 9K for him is, I think it's okay. I think it's almost too much. I'm going to be honest with you. You can hear my, kind of dismay in my voice. I mean, he's averaged in the last five. Listen, it's an appropriate price for what he's done in the last five. But what I'm saying is the last five have been much above average, above what he was doing on the season. And so you kind of expect him to slow back down, slip back into. I mean, remember what his price is. It's been as low as like 8.2. And we, you thought about that price tag for him. You weren't thrilled about it for him because he's been a lock for 37. But he's been about $400 too expensive every single time. And so nobody plays him except for the homeless kid who he's the greatest point guard in the league. No joke. He's literally going to be Brady, but basketball. All right. Not kidding, bro. And don't get him started on Jason Tatum. 36 minutes in the last five, 21 attempts, 31 points. That's what's impressive. How many people in this league can score you 30? There's one of them. 30% usage rate. Now, Denver, above average, like I mentioned, in production to the point guard. But it's not much. It's not like Phoenix. You know, I do, like I mentioned, I do think this is sort of a letdown spot for Boston. And that letdown would be centered around Kyrie Irving. Because he's been the offense, like he's been the engine. He's the jet fuel to this whole thing, for sure. So, yeah, that's something to consider. Oladipo versus Charlotte at the shooting guard position. Yeah, okay. 9,300 for him, not a bad price. And we've seen good numbers from him. He's been hitting 40s on the regular. 40 for him in this spot is not crazy. He put up 47 against Phoenix. Okay, it was a blowout. He probably could have gone for more. And 40 in the last two nights that we've seen him, that's not bad. I mean, the problem is, I just don't know if the situation is there. Mediocre total, okay? Mediocre total. They're top 10 in DVP to the position. They haven't allowed one 40-point game in the last, they've allowed one 40-point game to the position in the last 20. It's an issue of Batum. Nick Batum is long. He's a solid defender on the wing, and he's capable of taking wings out. We forget sometimes Nick Batum is 6'7". He's huge. He doesn't move like a Brad Beal or something, but he is big. And they just, if you were saying, well, he's always good for the peripherals. He is. He's very good with the peripherals. Charlotte doesn't turn it over. So you're not going to have a five steals outing. Their third and lowest turnover rate. I mean, rebounds, we know Charlotte's pretty solid on the rebounding end of things. You got a pretty good rim protector in Dwight. It just doesn't set up for Oladipo. I think it sets up for 34 from Oladipo. That's where I'm at with his projection. I could be completely wrong. I've been very wrong on various things. Various things. A sundry of issues have I been wrong about. All right, add small forward. This is where you're going to want to spend some money. And listen, honestly, if you can figure out how to get both of these clowns in your lineup, it's great because the rest of small forward is pretty mediocre, except for the value guys. Well, no, that's not true. The value guys are good, but paying up for a center, that's the issue that I have here. You want to pay up for a center on this slate. There's so many fun options. They're all great. A small forward, Jimmy and Giannis. All right, let's talk about Jimmy first, okay, versus Atlanta. And this is why this is interesting, because you could get a phenomenal number from Jimmy tomorrow night. Atlanta has been terrible against the small forward, but they've been pretty good against the two, which is a weird thing to see. Like, you only see certain teams do that, and it feels like it's a symptom of a solid wing defender being much better than the guy who switches onto him at the three, right? Well, that's the difference between Bazemore and Taurean Prince. Taurean Prince slightly below average. Bazemore's top 10 in defensive real plus minus. This is why they paid him that much money. The issue is that you don't get any offense, okay? But he's been good. I mean, he's shut down. He just shut down Donovan Mitchell, DeMar DeRozan. He put Giroux put up a pedestrian like 32 against him, 34, I think. Lou Williams struggled against him. Like, whoever between Jimmy and Wiggins draws Bazemore is going to struggle. My thought is though that it's probably going to be a Taurean Prince against Jimmy. I don't think it's actually like makes sense that they show him as a two. I guess he's listed as a two now, but it doesn't really, it's interchangeable to me. He's like, people have dominated the three. Okay. They're 17% above average scoring. He's got, they allow plus four, to the position over average. So I think he's got to, you got to be interested in Jimmy Butler here, against Atlanta, which is a much worse defense than what Giannis is facing in Philadelphia, to be frank. And a much worse defender in Taurean Prince than Bob Cuff. Now, Bazemore's on par, but you have to deal with, my guess is that Prince is going to deal with Wiggins. Taurean Prince is bigger, right? That's my thought, is he's actually 6'7". He can handle Jimmy because Jimmy's a little bit bigger than Wiggins, not from a height perspective, they're the same height, but from a weight perspective. I don't know. Jimmy, though, in the last 35 minutes, in the last game against Brooklyn, 35 minutes, 44 fantasy points, 21 real points, but 14 free throw attempts. That is Jimmy taking over the game. You love that. I love that. Love it. Okay. So great spot against Atlanta. Giannis 11-6 on FD versus Philadelphia. On paper, this is a bad matchup. Solid DVP, third in defensive efficiency. However, decent total, my guess. We don't have a total yet. Okay. My guess is we're going to have a decent total. 210-ish. Middle, you know, top half of this slate. The thing is like, you run the trend against Philadelphia. Like, what do stud players do against Philadelphia? You know, okay, and so here's how I set the parameters. A minimum of, 30% usage rate, which I could have set it to 28, 29, right? Okay. 30% usage rate, 30 plus minutes a game. And over 1.3 fantasy points per minute. Okay, who comes up? Well, AD, Bron, Russ, all these guys, and how they've played against against Philadelphia. It's 50 points. I mean, listen to this. Giannis had 45 last year in two situations when we were on Giannis in DFS against Philly, 45 and 48. He didn't kill you, but he didn't make your day. Bron had 52 this year, 58 in one game. Stephen KD had 45 and 49. Now, Russ had 71. But, I mean, is he a human being? We're not sure about that. Okay? Giannis, it's also questionable, actually, if Giannis is a human being. So, I don't actually, maybe that analysis doesn't really apply here. The one thing I will say is you love what Giannis has done in the last two games with Prunty back. I mean, like I talked about, the offense has run through him. It's run at an extremely high rate. He's put up 78 and 52 fantasy points in those two games, 41 and 27 raw points. I mean, just unbelievable numbers for this kid with Joe Prunty out in front. So is it, you know, chicken or the egg? I don't know, but Jason Kidd's an idiot, so maybe this is him helping. Okay. Going on to power forward, there's really nothing up here. I'm not really playing. Ben Simmons is interesting. I don't love it. You know, I like Ben Simmons in situations where I know he can win. Him against Giannis does not interest me. I think he could be limited here in this situation. That's why. I mean, and I do think Giannis will guard him. Like, I really do. Think about it. Right? I mean, it's Giannis or it's Middleton, and Middleton's a problem too. So, not that interested in Simmons. I think it's like a 35er from him. Center, though, oh, God. Oh, it's all here. It's all happening. Dwight Howard is the top here, 10-1 versus Indiana. I'm in love. The 25th in the DVP to the center, plus 2% bump. Dwight has been insane in the last five, 1.49 fantasy points per minute. He... has only three games below 40 fantasy points in the month of January. He's averaged 17 and 15 with five blocks, 4.8 blocks in the last five games. Man's on a heater. He is unbelievable right now from a fantasy perspective because the Hornets are terrible. I think, you know, you have to try and go, okay, well, is he worth the price? Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, he went up against plus matchups for the DVP perspective against Miami and Atlanta recently, and he put up nearly 60 and 60. I mean, come on. He has been printing profit potential at the center position, and everybody just, you know, we still expect him to, you know, make dumb jokes on camera and be pouty. Something's different. I don't know if it's Steve Clifford or he's getting old or whatever, but he is playing really, really well. Cat versus Atlanta, though, oof. I mean, come on paper, this is amazing. Minnesota versus Atlanta, first of all, it's lopsided. Second of all, it's Cat. He's going to play more minutes than there are available in the actual game. And it's Atlanta. Atlanta's been terrible to the center, okay? Absolutely terrible. They're second worst in DVP to the center position. Dwight and Jonas Valanciunas finished with twice their season averages against these teams. Dwight's averaged 35. He finished with 60. Okay, fine. Not quite twice. Jonas Valanciunas has averaged 24, and he finished with 47. Fuck me. Yeah, Cat. Karl Anthony Towns just put up a 60 burger against Brooklyn. You don't think 60 burgers possible against Atlanta here? Definitely. Okay, yeah, no. And then you know what the really annoying part is that for $9,700 cheaper, a cheaper price tag, Joel Embiid, than both of them against Milwaukee, who is literally allowed almost the highest efficiency to the center position on the year. They allow 6% above average production. That is the best on the slate. This is the best possible matchup, and you have JoJo, who's been just about under 1.4 fantasy points per minute, but he had two games in the last five with the Spurs and Memphis. That's no good for your fantasy numbers, okay? And then the blowout in Chicago, he only played 29 minutes there. Simmons was going bananas. You got to love him against Henson and Thonmaker. This is a very similar to like Torian Prince, Kent Bazemore situation, and the reason is John Henson is actually like decently up there in defensive real plus minus amongst power forwards. Thonmaker is literally almost dead last amongst center. So, I mean, Joe against any minutes against him here. The problem is we don't know if he's going to play. You know, I mean, let's be honest with you. Let's be honest with you. I've been hanging out with my three-year-old a lot. Let's be honest with you, Daddy. He hasn't played a back-to-back. I'm looking. He hasn't. Didn't play both of those. Yeah. So no back-to-backs yet. So this would be the first one. You don't think. I mean, there's no precedent to tell us that he plays more than 28 minutes if he plays. So anyway. All right, moving on to the grout here. Mid-tier players, 9K below. Let's go into the middle section here. You don't have to go far at the point guard position, but I'm interested in Jeff Teague. Okay, he is a game time with an ankle. You know, he only played 24 minutes in that game because he apparently had a little ankle thing coming on in the fourth quarter. So split time with Tyus Jones. Like, by the way, if Tyus Jones plays, oh, God, it would be just a gift. Like, if it's Jeff Teague is out, Tyus Jones against the Hawks is a boner and a half at 3,800. Not sorry that I said that inappropriately. Here's the deal. Either one of those guys, Jeff Teague or Tyus Jones, they're allowing above 5% above average in scoring. We know they've been bottom five in defensive efficiency all year long. Give me either one of those guys. No problem with Teague. No problem with Tyus Jones. Even if Teague, unless Teague is like doubtful, questionable all day because the ankle or whatever the case may be, then I might be concerned because I might think he goes 50-50 with Tyus Jones, in which case Tyus Jones is inviolable. Like, 24 minutes of Tyus Jones versus the Atlanta Hawks is almost worth it. He had 28 fantasy points against the Nets in 23 minutes. The man is good. So if we get anything Jeff Teague related injury-wise, Tyus Jones could be in play. So that's where I'm at with that. The only other spot that I would go is Goran Dragic. True snub, hashtag real snubs, Goran Dragic, you know, rough game against Charlotte, rough game against Sacramento, pace down situation, only played 23 minutes in that Charlotte game. But his price is down and you're going up against one of the better DVP situations. And listen, when he has plus matchups like he did, you know, against Chicago, he put up 22. Against New York, he put up 30 fantasy. I mean, 30 fantasy points is the floor from Dragic in this situation, I think. And he provides some security. You know what you're getting, I think, in that situation. So that's where I'm at with Goran Dragic. Moving over to the shooting guard position. Listen, I want to try to figure out if I can jam in Tyreek and Devin Booker. Okay. Evan's practiced. That's good. I love it against Phoenix. Obviously, we want shooting guards against Phoenix. So plus 22% above average scoring to the position in DVP. He hasn't played in a while, but he practiced it all day today. He's playing 35 minutes on average, averaging exactly one fantasy point per minute and 28% usage. You go to Phoenix and you put a 22% bump on there, and this is one of those beautiful Tyreek Evans 45ers. You know, 40 plus feels like, easy for him. And then coming back on the other side is Devin Booker. We attack the shooting guard against Memphis. That's all you do. It's the only position you can attack against Memphis. Plus 13% in production there. They're going to have a field day not guarding each other. It's going to be great. They are both bucket getters. They don't want to play defense. They want to get numbers. It's great. It's a perfect situation. It's the Spider-Man pointing meme, right? But one is like 21, and the other one has had a couple injuries and is only on a one-year deal in Memphis. One is going to hit the free agent market soon and make a shit ton of money, and the other one might sign a decent deal in the Eastern Conference next year. No, I mean, Booker is in a pace-down situation, but I don't really care. He's been above one fantasy point per minute in this spot. You know, okay, TJ Warren is back. It's just, this is the matchup to attack him in. This is a good way to be unique. I'm interested. Small forward, I don't like all of this. I mean, I guess TJ Warren, you could do it. But I'm really going to go with Josh Richardson. Dallas has been meh. They're 20th or like 18th to DVP to the small forward. They're not that great. You know, not a lot to love, but he's averaged 0.86 fantasy points per minute in the last five. He gets a little bump from Dallas. I think you can expect that standard procedure 30-point floor from Josh Richardson. You know, and you love him because the kid produces those peripherals, and you don't have to get the scoring. You know, I mean, you could get a line like he put up in that Charlotte game. 17-3-5-2-1. Just so balanced. It's just so pleasant to have such a balanced line. Makes things easy. You get lots of little bits and pieces and points from all those different things. Makes life easier. So there's a floor there for sure. Jaylen Brown is interesting, of course, at his price, but we saw how he can be hot and cold. 14 fantasy points in the first quarter of that Golden State game and then just disappeared. I don't know. Lance is interesting. Charlotte's been bad against the small forward. So, okay, fine. But that's about where I'm at with small forward. I'd much rather go down to some of these Memphis guys, and specifically some of these Memphis guys. I mean, the only one, Dylan Brooks. Yeah, why not? He's been fine. We've been playing him every time, and he's been great. Power forward, Taj versus Hotlanta. Huge rebounding upside here. You know, the minutes, we always love the minutes at the power forward position. You get into this 50-something, 100 range, even Sabonis doesn't play 30 minutes. Trey Lyles might get 24. He doesn't always get consistent minutes. John Henson might just get dunked on too many times by Joel Embiid and have to leave. Jason Tatum's been invisible. So where do you go? You go to Taj. Go with a 30-minute man. Go with a 30-minute man, the veteran. He's going to get you, you know, if we're lucky here as a kind of a makeshift center in the front court, he's going to get you 10 and 10. You feel solid about yourself. You feel good about your self-esteem because as you're aging, you look at a role model like Taj Gibson. And you think, you know what, Sean, it's not going to be that bad because you could grow up and be Taj Gibson, even though you're getting old and, you know, your knees hurt and shit. I could always be Taj Gibson. I have a Taj t-shirt. That helps. I think it's a good start. It's inspirational. All right. If, by the way, okay, if JoJo sits Dario in all formats because he's going to play the center, and Dario's not bad in this spot either because he's going to probably draw a little bit of center matchup. So I could get into some Dario. Definitely get it. They throw the book at Joel Embiid. Dario could be great in this spot. At center, I love the high price guys, but Marc Gasol at 7,900 is really attractive at that price. I think he could be great here, no doubt about it. Obviously senior centers against Phoenix, and he's been inconsistent to say the least. Like, you know, you have a floor here that is just terrifying. Partially because of the minutes. If they get blown out or they're playing poorly, he's not going to play that many minutes. He just isn't going to do it. But if he plays the full 35 minutes that you expect from Marc Gasol, we saw what kind of ceiling he has against the Clippers, 13, 12, and 10. And that's a healthy Clippers team, too. Now, he had 5 blocks. That's not going to happen, but that puts him at 40 points. Even if he has 2 blocks or, you know, you're at 45, you're basically exceeding value at 7,900. That's what I really like is that I like the value in the matchup there. So you feel safe with him in that situation. I couldn't go Greg Monroe. I can't go there because the Memphis has been so stingy in the front court. And I think, you know, Monroe's come back down to earth. That's it. I'm not touching Hassan Whiteside at that price. I mean, we could see a, you know, 40 burger, but I'm not touching him. Even though he's nice and cheap, he's clearly proved he's unreliable. Okay, he's proved he's unreliable at best. I don't mind Al Horford at 7,100. I don't think that's the worst. But Denver is a very good rebounding team. But I do like him in a pace. You know, it's not really a pace-up situation, actually. But I do like him as just kind of a solid source of floor. Yeah, he's not going to burn you like Whiteside is. So, if you're deciding there. All right, moving on to the bargain basement, 5,500 and below. I joked about the Memphis situation, but I'm not really actually kidding because you're going to hear like 55 names in the Memphis from Memphis in this spot. So starting at the point guard, you know, I don't mind TJ McConnell in the spot. I have no issue with him at 4,500. So long as we see that we feel like he's going to get minutes, I think they're going to distribute minutes a little bit more. I think he could be good for 27 against that team. It's just a price tag that's pretty cheap for him. Andrew Harrison, and Mario Chalmers, they're going to probably be the point guard spot here. Harrison's been good for about 27 minutes, not super productive. But Chalmers blew up the other night against the Clippers, 42 fantasy points across 32 minutes of action. Will he get those minutes again? I'm not completely sure. But if we have, you know, a lack of if Tyreek is there, no. The answer is no. He's probably going to get 21 minutes again. So you could go back to, I think, Andrew Harrison, feel a little bit better about him. But let's wait for news. Let's see who else is potentially out. Because I think Wayne Selden is out as well. So let's wait for the Memphis news. And you could go with either one of those guys. But probably Harrison would be my choice. That's it for point guard. It's a little thin. You're going to probably go to the middle of a pack here, maybe Kyrie. I don't know. That's tough. Shooting guard. Let's go over to shooting guard here. Nick Batum right there at 5,500. It's not a great price for him, to be completely honest, but I don't have an issue with it primarily because he's been playing over 30 minutes. And I think Indiana is a good team, but a pace-up situation for him, I think it could be, you know, just a solid return, 25-plus point for the minutes. And that's about it. Tony Snell is interesting. You know, he played, with no Malcolm Brogdon, he's going to play a little bit more. He played 28 and 30 in the last two with no Brogdon out there. He doesn't score, though. He doesn't score. So you can't really do that. If we get Troy Daniels, by the way, if we get Troy Daniels back in the lineup, be careful, okay? He played 23 minutes in that game against New York with Point Booker, 12 points. He's not that good. You know, he's kind of a complimentary piece to the larger offense. He's not playing that well, so be careful with that. small forward position. I mentioned Jaylen Brown. He's 55. Lance put up 30 against Orlando. That was pretty impressive. I'm not mad at you, Lance. But Dylan Brooks is the one, 4,300. No James Ennis. He's been playing 30-plus minutes. He's not bad. And the matchup with Phoenix is phenomenal. So Dylan Brooks, lock it in. In fact, let's go ahead and put him in as a placeholder for when I build the lineup. Power forward, Jarrell Martin. Let's go ahead and put him in as a $5,200 power forward against Phoenix. You got to have it, guys. You just do. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's Phoenix, okay? It's Phoenix. And these guys are athletic enough and capable enough in the minutes that they're getting that you need to have them in your roster. But, I mean, you can't play any of these guys with any expectation that they're going to get full run, except for maybe Marvin Williams, who gets about 26 to 28 minutes, but he has a very wide range of outcomes. Okay. So I don't think you have to, I don't think you need to go there. All right, let's move over to the center position. I mentioned a couple of the names that I'm interested in, but man, it's hard to get excited about Greg Monroe against Memphis. They've been so good against the front court. I just don't know that I can do it just yet. You know, of course, keep your eye on the Joel Embiid situation. You could get Rahsaan Holmes in there as well. So who knows? But I think I'm paying up for center. I like it enough. Speaking of paying up for center, let's go over to FanDuel, build a quick lineup, just kind of you guys get a feel for the way things are shaking out. So I said I'm paying up for a center, right? And I said I'm paying up for one of these juicy small forwards. And I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to go Joel Embiid with the plan that, you know what, it's not going to work, Sean. But I'm going to wishful thinking that with Joel Embiid. Now, at small forward, I'm going to go to Jimmy. I think he has a path to getting 50 that's just as likely as Giannis in this situation. So that's where I'm at. This is the cheap version of this lineup. So I'll show you the more expensive version with Dwight and Giannis there in a second. I already have power forward Jarrell Martin and small forward Dylan Brooks. So let's get some shooting guard value. Well, let's get some point guard value in here. And that's going to look like Andrew Harrison against Phoenix. Yes, I'm going to play this many Memphis players. I'm probably going to play a fourth if I can fit in, what's his name? Tyreek. And let's try that. Let's see what I can do here with Tyreek and Tyreek and Devin Booker, boom, in there. Now I have 5,500 for another power forward and a point guard. This is too easy. It's Taj Gibson, and then I'm going over 5,200. Yeah, Tyler Johnson doesn't make me mad. I'm not mad about that. Terry Rozier, though, too, against Denver, man. Terry Rozier, baby. He had that little ankle, so we'll see. It's Shane Larkin. I've completely forgot about Terry Rozier and Shane Larkin, both in play. So this is a really rough draft, but listen to this. This is pretty sexual. I'm sorry, that's not appropriate. That's pretty sexy. Andrew Harrison, Terry Rozier, Tyreek Evans, Devin Booker, Dylan Brooks, Jimmy Butler, Jarrell Martin, Taj Gibson. Oh, wait, Joel Embiid isn't playing? Well, that's fine. I have some extra money. I'll go up to Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard. Wait a second. Dwight Howard is not playing? I'll go to Giannis Antetokounmpo and Marcus Gasol. I mean, you see, this slate isn't that hard. This is pretty easy, actually. Yeah. I don't know which one I like better. I think I'm going to go, I mean, you could go also go Jimmy. You can go Jimmy and Dwight. Could you go, let me see if you can, how to get to Towns and Giannis. That might be the combo. Towns and Giannis. Towns and Giannis is hard. It's not hard. You just have to spend down off of Tyreek. You get 6,400. You get Will Barton in there, maybe. That's not great against Boston. You don't want that matchup. You could do Chris Middleton. You could do Chris Middleton and Andrew Wiggins. That's not bad. That'd be kind of fun. That'd be fun. So there's a lot of ways to do this. There's a lot of ways to go at this slate, man. It's going to be a fun little slate, actually, now they're building lineups. Because you know why? Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to love your lineup. I guarantee you're going to love your lineup. And it's going to break your heart. Break it.